This is Marilyn Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. In the time it took me to introduce myself, about 18,000 tweets were sent out on Twitter, the social media platform where users can send out their thoughts 140 characters at a time. Baltimore tech entrepreneur Dave Troy has thought a lot about who's sending those tweets and who they're connected with. For several years, he's been creating colorful images of social media networks in Baltimore, and he joins me now to talk about what they can tell us about Charm City. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sheila.
How did you go about creating these graphs, which are actually quite beautiful?
Well, in about 2007, I started to map out kind of the geography of tweets in the Baltimore, Washington kind of area to try to understand who was using a tool like Twitter and why and whatnot. And so I was able to actually create a real-time map of tweets, all tweets in the world, that really captured a lot of people's imagination and ended up in the Museum of Modern Art. And I was like really excited to be able to kind of see some of this data for the first time, but it still didn't get at kind of the core question that I guess I really had, which is, you know, what does this tell us about ourselves and how are people going to be using this technology going forward to communicate? And you know, what can we learn about kind of the place that we live by understanding how people communicate? So I finally came up with a way to do it about 6 months ago and started to map out the friend relationships on Twitter here in Baltimore and started to see some pretty interesting patterns emerge. And so I wanted to start sharing these, and I'm still, you know, it's a work in progress, but...
Yeah, and one of the patterns is around something you define as smaltimore, which is a phrase people have used. When you talk about smaltimore, what is it that you have seen in the Twitter mapping you've done?
Well, so, you know, for those of us that inhabit smaltimore, I think we all have a sense that, you know, these are kind of the people that you're always running into. They're the brands and companies that you're always running into. So things like the Baltimore Sun, you know, media companies like WYPR and, you know, other kinds of presences that are familiar in Baltimore, things, you know, like restaurants and you know, other types of publications, things like that. But then all, you know, all the people that kind of inhabit that world, too, they kind of are in that smaltimore universe. And it's very much kind of the establishment, kind of the civic conversation. So politicians, nonprofits, people in the arts, all very much inhabit the smaltimore part of the network.
And then you found that there's sort of at the other end of the image you create, the visualization of this data, there's another Twitter community.
That's even bigger.
Even bigger and very different.
Right.
And that's the DMV community. Tell us about DMV.
Yeah, exactly. So when I started to do this visualization, you know, I was kind of like, oh, look, there's all the stuff that I know, you know, the newspaper and everybody else. But then I started to see that, you know, the network and the data was much bigger. And, you know, in fact, there's this really active, you know, kind of minority community on Twitter that is using it in a very different kind of way. So while the smaltimore community tends to focus on, say, like marketing their small business or, you know, talking about upcoming events for their nonprofit or sharing links from the newspaper, the DMV community, and that stands for DC, Maryland, and Virginia, they're sharing stuff more about, you know, like personal relationships and, you know, just doing small group chat, things like that. And the way that I kind of identified this community as being the DMV community is I started really just looking at everybody's profile to understand, you know, what is it that they're sort of identifying with. And they identify more with this idea of the region of DMV. And what they'll do is, you know, often put like, you know, they're in DMV, but they'll put square brackets around the M part to indicate that they're in Maryland or specifically in Baltimore. And, you know, they really identify more with the region than they do with Baltimore as a city.
So I have the impression that the smaltimore universe is mostly white. Mm-hmm. And the DMV universe at the other end of the visualization is mostly black. But, I mean, do we know that? Or is that just an
impression? Yeah, and that's kind of what one thing that's interesting about this is that you can actually go and look at the photos of all of the different accounts that are present in each of these communities that the algorithms detected. So, you know, if you look at the photos from the folks in the smaltimore community, it's a lot of white people, but it's also a lot of small businesses and brands and logos and stuff like that. And then when you get to the other end of the spectrum to the DMV side, it's mostly black folks, some Latinos and other minorities. And then in between, you've kind of got a mix like you'd expect. So it's in Baltimore, it's very much a racial spectrum that gets represented in these communities.
And so when you made the visualization, what you ended up with in visualizing Twitter use in Baltimore, it's shaped like a dog bone.
Kind of.
There's a bulge at one end that is Smaltimore, and at the other end that is the DMV community. And what tends to be in the middle?
So perhaps not surprisingly, the sports teams are the real connector between kind of these two communities. So the Ravens in particular are very strong connectors, and then all the kind of social media accounts that go along with the Ravens. So things like Ray Rice and Ray Lewis and some of the other players. And then also the Orioles are in that spectrum as well. And the Orioles tend to skew a little bit more towards Smaltimore than they do to DMV, but still they act as a strong connector. And then, you know, you have some other things in the middle there, too. But, you know, more on the DMV side, you have like 92Q, the radio station. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of what you'd expect to see once you kind of understand, you know, how Baltimore works. This is kind of what we experience on a day-to-day basis, is that the Ravens do act as a unifying force in the city.
On WYPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Dave Troy, CEO of 410 Labs, a tech company here in Baltimore. We're talking about graphs he created of social network connections in Baltimore. And I should say that we, on our website, have links to some of Dave's visualizations. How does what you find about Baltimore compare to other cities and how they use Twitter?
Well, so it's a work in progress. I think, it's a little early to say conclusively exactly how they're different. But the thing that has stood out in the early visualizations of, say, cities like Philadelphia and Boston is that both Philadelphia and Boston really strongly resemble each other. They kind of look sort of like like a tennis ball with two prongs sticking out on one side. You kind of have all of the same kind of stuff that's in the Baltimore world, but then you have kind of a lobe for, say, like, you know, hip hop and urban music culture, and then a different lobe for sports and, say, baseball, football. So it's totally different. Like, you know, Baltimore has this very kind of linear sort of spectrum of one set of people on one end and another set of people on the other, as where these other cities seem to be a little bit more integrated, still with their own communities of distinct interest, but nowhere near as separate as we seem to be.
You have a scientific approach. I don't know that you put a value judgment on that, but is this image of how folks and institutions in Baltimore use Twitter, is this something that we should be worried about?
I think it's something we should try to understand. I think we all have, you know, the impression that, you know, there are two Baltimores at a minimum. You know, some mm-hmm. people talk two or more, you know. And it's true, you know, we live in very different kind of universes, and that segregation is not only, you know, geographic, it's also sort of psychographic, and it's based on how we think of ourselves and as a community. And I think one of the things that I'm personally interested in is trying to find ways to help people look for opportunities to connect with people who aren't like them. And I think that that's what this work can be used as a basis for ultimately, is to try to help them understand and to look for ways to spend time with people that are really different from them. Because until we do that and do it in a way with, you know, real empathy and real understanding, I think, you know, we're going to have a very hard time kind of fixing some of the things that divide us in a city like Baltimore. And so that's kind of what my root interest is in this.
So you've taken us to a real world concept, spending time with people.
Yeah.
Staying in the virtual world, in the Twitter world, what does your research tell us we should be doing in terms of connections?
One of the things that you can do to try to start to develop some understanding and even look for ways to spend time with people that aren't like you is to break out of what people call your filter bubble. Folks who study information technology these days, you know, they worry that the only kinds of information that we surround ourselves with is information that's produced by people that agree with our point of view or who are very much like us. And so I think it's important to try to find ways to, you know, look for people that have different points of view from us. So one of the simple things that you can do is to look at a map like what I've produced and start to follow Twitter accounts that are just totally different from you. And so I'm now following a lot of folks in the DMV community because they're funny, they're interesting, they're saying stuff that I don't always understand at first and I have to go look it up. But to me, I mean, I don't think that that's going to change the world overnight. I don't think that makes me any more You know, I mean, I am who I am. I can't change that. But at the same time, I think it offers a window into a world that I might not otherwise fully comprehend or understand. And I think when opportunities to interact face-to-face come along, I might be more inclined to take those because I feel a little bit more comfortable or a little bit more understanding or I have a little bit more background. And to me, I think that's something that we could all afford to do.
I'm so grateful to you for telling us about it. It's fascinating.
Yeah,
thank you,
Sheila.
Dave Troy. He's CEO of 410 Labs, a tech company in Baltimore. We have pictures of his graphs at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. There's more ahead on Maryland Morning. Stay with us on 88.1. We'll be right back.